Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm awful happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if he isn't yours, he can be, he wants to be, he came to be. In fact, the book of Luke 19 and 10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Listen, I'm excited about the program, excited about the message that God has laid on my heart, excited about the song that we've got picked out that Debbie has done on one of her projects. And by the way, if you want any of her projects, all you got to do is write me and let me know. Get a hold of me and I'll be happy to send it to you. Listen, free of charge, free of charge. Hey, I've turned my Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Pentateuch, chapter 31. And I'm going to be preaching from that. Use that as a passage, my text. Here's Debbie with Fastened to the Rock. And I'm glad that I am. Are you? That's the question. I'll be back.
Sometimes my hope looks dim, but my faith must be in Him. Looking for answers to come while I wait. But I know for sure, in Jesus Christ I am secure, and I know I am fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock, the rock of all ages. In Him I find show me His will. I must wait upon the Lord and stand on the rock. Now my hope is renewed. Lord, my strength, it comes from You. And I know with You that I'll carry on, for my anchor holds fast to this rock that will ever last. How blessed I am to be fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock, the rock of all ages. Him I find sweet peace, this I know. For He tells me to be still, and He will show me His will. I must wait upon the Lord and stand on the rock.
I'm glad I'm on the rock of ages. Hallelujah. Friend, listen, he's been something that's been tried and proven. Do you hear me? And I'm telling you, friend, listen, if you're building on the sand, you're going to fall. The flood's going to come. The rain's going to come. The problems are going to descend. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. If you're not founded on the rock, listen, friend, you're in trouble. But I'm glad for that rock of ages. Thank you, Debbie. I've opened my Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, chapter 31. And these are the words of a man by the name of Moses. He was soon to step off the stage of action. Joshua was soon to replace him, if I could say it that way. The children of Israel were ready to cross out of the wilderness into the promised land, that land that God swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that it would be theirs if they, especially Abraham, would just simply put his trust and faith in God and in His Word. And listen, that's what I'm going to talk about. That's what I'm going to talk about. I'm talking about the Word of God today, friend. I'm going to talk about the Word of God. I'm going to talk about, here's my text. Before I read my text passage, I'm going to talk to you today about something the church must do. Something the church must do. And it's got a second part in it. Really, this is the message, friend. This is the message. You know what the church must do? You know what the church must be? It must be a people of the book. Thank God. I think I'll change the text to what the church must be. Something the church must be. And that is, we must be people of the book. We must be people of the Word of God. We must be people of good doctrine, sound doctrine, doctrine that we find in the Word of God. Now listen, if you'd have been Moses, ready to step off the stage of action, ready, friend, to go to your reward after 120 years, what would you have said? What would you have told them? How would you have counseled them? How would you have encouraged them? Well, listen, as we break in at verse 11 and get up 12 and 13 with it, and we'll hear what Moses had to say. Well, let me pick it up in verse 10, if I may. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of the tabernacles, when all Israel's come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. I want you to notice the proclamation that Moses gave to the children of Israel. I want you to notice the place that he instructed them to come to. I want you to realize, friend, how significant, how important it was. Hey, it's sad the day that we live in, friend, when technology and access to knowledge, access to many, many things is just laying at the fingertips, at our fingertips, just with a click of a button, just a turn of a page. Friend, we ought to be proficient. We ought to be profound in the Word of God. And yet, in some ways, it seems, in my opinion, friend, that there may be as much illiteracy of the Word of God as any time. Oh, listen, if you're saved, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if your sins are washed by the blood, if you've been sealed with the Spirit, you need to be a person of the book, a person of the Word of God. Listen, now Moses made a proclamation. He told them where to gather, the place to come. And this is what he told them they ought to find as he spoke to the people. And he said, gather the people together, men and women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all. Now listen to this, all the words of the law. Listen, friend, he's talking to the people. He's talking about men, women, boys and girls. He's talking about young and old. Can I tell you something, friend? We're never too young to start hearing the Word of God. Hey, listen, Mom, listen, Dad. If you've got a child in your wife's womb, Dad, if mother, you've got a baby forming in your womb, you ought to read it, the Word of God. You ought to tell it that they ought to fear God. They ought to stand on the Word of God entirely. Oh, friend, if you've got children, you ought to make them children of the book. You ought to take them to a good, sound Bible church that believes the Word of God. And oh, friend, when I'm talking about the Word of God, I'm talking about a King James Bible. Oh, friend, we need to be people of the book. He said, listen, you can't start too early. Bring the kids. Bring the little ones. And he says, you need to learn all the way through. Listen, sir, ma'am, I don't care if you walk with the Lord 50 years, 60, 70, or 80. Hey, there's always something that you can learn new from this blessed old book. He said, young and old, men, women, boys and girls, he said, get them into the book, teach them the book, tell them the book, and help them to fear how the Lord their God, to observe all the words how that God has given. Look, he said, there's a proclamation to be made. There's a place that you're to come. The people that are to gather, and the purpose is to learn about the Word of God, to learn about this book, how that we say we reverend, that we say that we love. Oh, listen, if we really loved it, if we really reverend it as we ought to learn it and live it. If somebody would say amen right there, I would appreciate it. But look, he goes on in verse 13 and says, and that thy children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land when you go over Jordan to possess it. Hey, you know what? There's a profit to hearing the Word of God. There's a profit to learning the Word of God. There's a privilege in knowing the Word of God. And more than that, knowing the God of the Word. Hey, I'm telling you, there's something that the church must be in these last days. And that is, friend, we must be people of the book. Now listen, there's a lot of rules in life that we come up against. There's a lot of rules for everything that we do, every place that we go, every situation pretty much we find ourselves in. Hey, listen, there's rules when you play Monopoly. Do you know that? There's rules when you play hide and seek. There's rules when you play marbles and basketball and football and soccer and all those sports, anything, friend, there's rules and expectation. Can I tell you what? This Bible that I hold in my hand, thank God, that I love this book, bless God, that's inspired by God, that's been preserved by God perfectly to this present generation. I want you to know it is to be our final rule of faith and practice. No book ought to supersede it. No book, friend, ought to rise above it. There's nothing wrong, like Paul said, with reading many books. Or Solomon said, even Paul in the last days of his life, he told Timothy when he come to bring him the cloak and the parchment, but especially the books. I don't know what those books were, but listen, there's nothing wrong with reading books about the Bible. But listen to what this old preacher is going to say. They all, listen, friend, should point you to the Bible. None of them should supersede the Bible. None of them should take precedence and priority over the Word of God. And if you're reading books by men about the Bible more than you're reading the Bible, there is a problem. Oh, listen, we need to be, we must be a people of the book. It is to be. It is to be our final and sole source for rule and faith and practice. Listen to what the Word of God says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17. All Scripture is given inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. And Paul goes on in the next chapter, chapter 4, and he tells Timothy, preach the Word. He gave him a charge, not about the Word, not men's thought on the Word, but he said, preach. Preach the Word. Listen, friend, I said it a minute ago, let me say it again. Nothing is to precede or supersede the Word of God. No law, no tradition, no man-made edict. And listen, some of you all, please listen, not even your personal experience. I like to experience things in the Lord. I like to experience blessings and just benefits. But can I tell you nothing? Let me say it again. Nothing is to supersede the Word of God. No experience. No extra cathedra. A statement that a pope might say. Nothing that man might come up with. I want you to know that the Word of God, God's Word, and the doctrine of the Word of God is to be superseded, supplanted, or raised above anything. And that the Word of God says nothing is to be placed above it. I'll tell you, friend, listen, not even our experience. Matter of fact, Paul said to the Romans in chapter 3, verse 4, he said, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. You don't test your Bible by your experience, sir, ma'am. You test your experience by the Word of God. How the Bible said in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, despise not prophesying. And in that day, you've got to take it contextually and understand it there. But he said, he goes on to say, but prove all things. Paul or John tells us in the first letter that bears his name in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, try the Spirit. Because Peter said in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, I believe it is, that in the last days, friend, as there were false prophets, there shall be false teachers who have set forth feigned or plastic words. Hey, I'm telling you, this word, bless God, listen, we must stand by, stand on, and stay in this word. Glory, hallelujah. Joshua, you know what he was given? He was given some good information, some good instruction in chapter 1 of the book that bears his name. After Moses died, after, listen, a great and mighty change was coming into the nation of Israel. You know what God instructed him to do? He instructed him, that great warrior, that great general, that great battler, if you'll allow me. He said, listen, now that you're going to take on a new position, he said, this book of the law in chapter 1 verse 8 shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hey, I'm here to tell you today, friend, that there's something the church must be, God's people must be, regardless of the dispensation, regardless of the generation. We must be people of the book, people of the book. You know what the Word of God tells us in Psalm 119, 105? He said, the Word is a lamp unto my life and a light unto my path. Bless God, it ought to be our guide. It ought to be our guard. And listen to what the psalmist said again in chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, sitteth in the way of the scorners, standeth... Well, hallelujah. I'll just turn over there and read that. I've quoted that so many times across life, you'd think this morning that I've never done it before. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of the sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord, and in the law shall he meditate day and night. How wonderful! And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Hey, listen, friend. God knows that we need the Word. Matter of fact, God gave us this Word 3,808 times at least. The Word of God tells us, thus saith the Lord, or the word of the Lord said, or the Lord said, I'm telling you, friend, listen, God wants us to know that this is His book. God's people must respect this book. We must reverend this book. We must obey this book. And can I tell you, friend, it's imperative that we not only hear the Word of God, but that we heed the Word of God. And can I tell you, not just those parts that we like, not just those parts that make us feel good, but all, friend, we ought to get the whole counsel of God. When Paul was leaving, after meeting the church down by the seaside there at Miletus, maybe it was, when he called for the elders of Ephesus to meet him there, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We need to preach it. Every word of it. You say, preacher, all of it's not to me. No, it's not. But bless God, all of it is for you. All of the Word of God is not written to me, nor is it all written to you, but it is all written for us. Remember, I've already quoted the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Those Scripture that make us feel good, those Scripture that make us feel bad, those Scriptures that convict us, those Scriptures that show us when we're lost, we're condemned to a devil's hell, consigned there unless we're converted. Those, friend, listen, that tell us we're a child of the King, that heaven's real and someday we'll be there. Hey, we need all of the Word of God. Let me give you a quote that Clarence Sexton made. And boy, I like that. He said, our faith is a treasured heritage, not a contemporary issue. And when he's talking about faith, he's talking about what Jude said. Now, when he said in the only chapter that's in his book that bears his name, he says this, friend, that we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Oh, we've got to be. We must be people of the book. We must adhere passionately to truth. We must adhere passionately to the truth and warn those who do not. Oh, listen, the church, according to the book of 1 Timothy 3:15, is to be, and it is, the pillar and the ground of truth. I'm not to change the truth, I'm just simply to read it, to learn it, and to declare it. And bless God, it'll build me up. It'll stand me up. But once I find the truth and get on that ground, I'm to lift it up. Hallelujah. I'm not, listen, friend, I'm not to change it to suit this contemporary society. Hey, listen, that book is spirit. The words Jesus said that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hey, we don't need this spirit of the common day of this society, this contemporary spirit to change anything. But God has given us His Word to change us from this spirit of contemporary society and the people that are fit subjects for the kingdom of Almighty God. Listen, friend, it's not our charge to change God's Word, but it is the charge of the Word of God to change us. And I'm telling you, there's something the church must be. There's something the church must be. And that is people. That is people of the book. I'm telling you, friend, listen. It's imperative that we hear the Word of God. It's imperative that we heed the Word of God. I see too many stiff-necked people, friend, which is, you know what being stiff-necked is? It's a refusal to bow down in humble submission to God's Word. And you know what? Instead, persisting in our own hardening, doing it our way, doing what we want because we feel good. Can I tell you the only way that God will bless us? It's when we submit to His Word, when we hear His Word and heed His Word and do His Word. Hey, let me tell you again, God's people must be people of the book. Boy, I wish I had all kinds of time But listen, friend, listen. People can deny God's Word. People can doubt God's Word. People can can disregard God's Word. But the truth, thank God, but the truth, listen, will stand. It'll stand for all ages. It'll stand, hallelujah, hey, from eternity. It has stood and it still stands forever. How the Word of God said, is thy Word settled in heaven. Listen, friend, listen. Let me tell it again. I've got to go here shortly. We need to take all parts of the book, and not just the sweet, but also the bitter. Not just the ones that we like. But we need to do what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16. He said, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We ought to do what they did at the beginning in Acts 2:44, I believe it is, where they continued in the apostles' doctrine. That's what Paul told Timothy, that young man, to do in the face of apostasy. The apostasy of the last days and perilous times is to continue in the faith. Hey, listen. We must make much of the Word of God. We must make much of the doctrine of the Word of God. We as a church must be people of the book. Hey, friend, that's still the way God will bless us. Until the next time is my prayer.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.